Good morning.
I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. First, a thank you for all of the support we received during our spring pledge drive. We're very grateful. Thanks for supporting our public affairs programming, all of the eclectic programming on this handmade radio station, your Coast Community Radio Stations. Thank you so much. Today, we're here to talk about a new business in Astoria. A very interesting story I think you all will enjoy. And the world is made up of stories. And so, and this is going to be a really sweet program. This program, I think, is a treat. And and the reason is because we're going to be talking about Freet and Scoop. And some of you may be familiar with them, and others may say, what is Freet and Scoop? And today you will find out, because in the studio I have Lisa Malcolm.
Hello.
Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
And I also have her husband, Kevin Malcolm. Hi, Kevin.
Hi there.
Very happy to have you both here in the studio. Before we let listeners know who aren't familiar with the deliciousness of Freet and Scoop, let's talk a little bit about each one of you. So, Kevin, please tell us about yourself.
Oh, well, I am originally from East Moline, Illinois. And to tie in with a little bit of the ice cream, my first job was at a place called Whitey's in Illinois. And when I was in my mid-20s, I moved to Seattle and worked in an accounting job for a little while. Well, more than a little while. And along that period of time, I met this wonderful woman. And
stop.
You know, and then life led us here, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But
exactly. All right. So you're from Illinois, and then you lived in Seattle, where you were an accountant. Okay. Mm-hmm. And Lisa, please tell us about yourself.
Right. Well, I was born down in Tucson, Arizona, where it's very hot, and we love ice cream down there. I lived all over the country as a child, and moved to Seattle in 1992 and lived there a good long time doing all kinds of jobs. I worked in a coffee shop. I worked as a nanny. I worked in retail. I worked, oh gosh, all kinds of places. And I wanted to cook, but I didn't want to work in a restaurant necessarily. So I went to pastry school after I'd met this guy. And he supported me while I went to pastry school. And then I learned how to do what I wanted, which at the time I thought was to make bread. That's what I wanted to do. And then I got into cake and worked a little bit in pastry in a restaurant in Seattle. And then we took a little trip to Astoria.
Okay, we want to hear about this. And if you've just heard a reference to ice cream, that would be the scoop part of Freet and Scoop.
That would be the scoop.
And so we'll hear how these entrepreneurial spirits took a leap of faith and why they're here in Astoria. So, all right, so you're in Seattle. You're going to pastry school.
Yep.
You're doing accounting, crunching numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened?
Well, Lisa and I were out for the town on the town on a Sunday, and we were having a wonderful time. And all of a sudden, I started feeling a little bit down. And she asked me what was wrong, and I said, well, I have to go back to work tomorrow. And she said, well, then quit. And that was a revelation to me. I never thought that I could quit the job that I hated. And that kind of support was wonderful. Luckily, unlike most people that where I worked, luckily for me, we had just been bought out, and I was likely going to be laid off. And so we figured, all right, let's take some time and wait and see if I get laid off. I did. And instead of looking for a new job, I took that severance and took our savings, and I said, I'm going to figure out what I want to do. And she's so wonderful, she actually allowed that to happen. You know, we tightened our belts and dealt with it from there. And, you know, for the next 2.5 years, I taught myself how to cook. I became a house husband. And, you know, went to the dog park every morning, and eventually, you know, late in 2013, mm-hmm. I started making ice cream. And just because I was bored, I said, honey, I'm going to buy a little Cuisinart ice cream machine. And I made some. People really liked it. but I was really frustrated with how slow it took, how long it took to actually make ice cream in that little machine. And so I said, honey, can I buy a $500 ice cream machine? And she didn't blink and said, sure, why not?
Yeah, and she actually ordered you ice cream making books.
She did order me ice cream making books as well. Mm-hmm. As well, she
have to do your research.
I had to do more research, and it was fun. She would go off to work, and then come home, and I would have a new ice cream for her to try every day. So there was a lot of experimentation. I really found that I had a lot of fun doing it because ice cream makes people happy, and you can you give someone a bowl of ice cream that tastes really really good, you're going to see a smile on their face. So from there, we visited Astoria, what was it, December of 2013?
Yep, Christmas time.
Well, you'd come to Long Beach.
Yes,
decided to take a little vacation, and you were in Long Beach, and then?
And then we came across, we decided to come to Astoria because we'd never been, and it's the kind of town that we had always dreamed of moving to.
And I'd heard about it. You live in Seattle. Everyone talks about the North Coast. People go to Cannon Beach on vacation. People go to Astoria on vacation. But I'd never been to any of those places. I'd heard about them. It seemed sort of romantic to me, but I didn't know what it actually looked like or was like.
Sure.
So and we took a drive.
Yeah, we took a drive from Long Beach, which
from
means we came over
in
the
Philadelphia
Bridge.
Yeah, I'm
and we were coming over the last rise when you see the town, open up and you see all those gorgeous houses on the hill. And, Lisa said, Mr. Malcolm, you're in trouble. And yep. I said, what? And she said, no, I think I want to move here.
I think if he could have turned around on the bridge at that moment, he probably would have.
So you knew right away, the minute you saw it, you said,
yep,
you're in trouble. I want to move to Astoria.
I wanted to live in a small town. And he wanted to stay in the Pacific Northwest. And I love the Pacific Northwest, too, but I didn't think the town I wanted existed in the Pacific Northwest.
So it was a good compromise once we decided to move here.
Yeah. So you came to Astoria, and you walked around, fell in love even more with the town, and then you said, well, what are we going to do here?
Well, we went home and thought, wow, I love it there. And I sort of didn't want to be the nag that said, don't forget about Astoria every 5 minutes. So I didn't broach the subject for a while, and he brought it up.
And her secret plan worked.
It's true. 2 or 3 months later, he said to me, so if we move to Astoria, what would we do for a living? And of course, my ears perked up and I got very excited and tried to play it cool. I don't know. What do you want to do for a living?
Like a boy just told her that he liked her and she wasn't sure how to react.
I didn't want to scare him off. I had to play it cool. So we didn't know what we were going to do. We thought we'd have to sort of create our own job.
Yeah, way of living.
We're not in, we couldn't work for the hospital. I'm not a fisherman. He's not a logger. We didn't really have anything.
But luckily we don't have any children, so we have a bit of freedom with being able to be a little crazy.
Impetuous,
with what we do. So, and we also have, a good number of friends in Seattle or acquaintances that have started their own restaurants and the like. So that was a little bit inspiring. We saw they could do it. So we eventually decided, it was actually at one of our favorite places in Seattle where we decided, okay, let's do ice cream. Yeah. That's something we could do. During subsequent trips to Astoria, we had discovered that there was no homemade ice cream in town. So that was eating away, in the back of our heads. It was a little itch like, okay, well, that's not something we could do. But it was, eventually where we were sitting down, really talking about it, really talking seriously about it, and we just decided to leap.
Yeah. We searched and searched. Surely someone makes ice cream in this town.
It's a vacation town.
Tourist town. Someone has to do it, and we just haven't found it yet. And we didn't ever find it.
So as you began to have this, you really didn't have much of a plan. You just said, we want to move here. Kevin has now taught himself how to make this great ice cream. Mm-hmm. There is no homemade ice cream in Astoria.
Right.
Okay, let's go to Astoria and open an ice cream shop.
Yep.
And so you then came down and started to look for places.
Well, the plan originally was to move here, buy a house, and then over about the next year, sort of think about the shop and what it was going to be and sort of write a business plan and find the perfect location and do it very slowly and deliberately and smartly.
Like because Kevin's an accountant, you mean? So Kevin, yeah. Let's look at some numbers here. Let's figure this out. Right?
And what ended up happening was the exact opposite. We took a walk. We parked on the Riverwalk and went for a walk and passed the pilot station. And the old wheelhouse was there and had a for rent sign in the window. And we thought, gosh, that's a cute spot. Look, you can see the water and that's nice and big. Ooh, and we looked in the windows and saw they used to have ice cream. They have a dipping cabinet already. We wouldn't have to buy that piece of equipment. That's kind of cool. Let's call the number on the sign and see how much this would be.
And, you know, also at this point, to stress how naive we were,
yeah,
we didn't even know that the Riverwalk was really a hub of activity. You know, we assumed that, oh, this is a Riverwalk. People will walk along here and it's a good spot for ice cream. But we had we didn't do really any research into the town to find out exactly how much activity would be there. We just went with our gut.
Yep.
Well, you know, there's a lot of research coming out now that gut instincts really are something that people can count on. And they have validity. So you saw the spot. So your plan to just get settled first kind of just went out the window. I think you said something like caught lightning in a bottle because suddenly, bam, you're signing a lease on this space on the Riverwalk.
Mm-hmm. And then we had to find a place to live.
Well, basically all of our plans that we've made for this shop have gone out the window when reality hits. You know, and that was one of the first instances of that.
Yeah. We found very quickly that the plans we made didn't always translate into reality without warping significantly.
You know, there's, of course, I mean, we have obviously the, you know, small business economic development here in town. And
they're
we
wonderful.
Have some very talented professional people who help people when they start small businesses. And most small businesses fail. I think the statistics, I don't remember the exact numbers, but... So, and there's something to be said for doing things in meticulous fashion. Listen, we're going to start this. We're going to have all this. And then again, there are businesses, Mrs. Fields Cookies. I think she mortgaged her house or something and said, I'm going to make Charlie's Cookies. And people said, you're out of your mind. So sometimes you just take this leap. And you all had a very powerful feeling about Astoria. And there was no other homemade ice cream here. So that those forces combined, somehow it seems like things just kept happening for you too, and you kept saying yes instead of oh no. So how did you overcome the fear? Because most people would be quite fearful about this.
Well, I think for us, there definitely was a sense of urgency because we did not think that the hole in the market that we had stumbled on could possibly last. We thought for sure if we didn't do it, someone was going to do it before we did. And we didn't want to be the shop that opens up with homemade ice cream 2 weeks after somebody else does. We really wanted to just get it done.
So that put some pressure on. So from the time you signed the lease, which was last year when?
In April or May, I think.
Okay, in the spring. Yeah. And then, bam, Fruit and Scoop opened. In
October 18th. Yep. And so
kind of under the radar. A lot of people didn't know. But
yeah, from that time, we went to, you know, early May, we signed the lease. We had to pack. We had to, find a place to live. We had to write some recipes. We had to determine, we had to find contractors. We had to do everything within that few month period to be able to get to open. You know, I had never bought a gigantic piece of, ice cream machinery before. I didn't even know if the machine would work. We call them Phil now. If that
wait, you've named your ice cream machine?
Yes.
The name of the ice cream machine is Phil.
His name is Phil.
Very hard.
Okay.
Yeah, he's named after our favorite, funnily enough, our favorite professional wrestler, who was, first name was Phil, and who always said he was the best in the world. And we don't like to brag, but we thought between ourselves it would have been we'd be funny to say Phil makes the best in the world ice cream as well.
Yes,
that's very funny. So. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. And today in the studio, I have Lisa and Kevin Malcolm. They are certainly demonstrating the entrepreneurial spirit, which led them to take a leap of faith and move to Estoray last year. They opened Freet and Scoop. We still haven't talked about the Freet part, but we will, though, but there's a lot more to talk about on the Scoop part. And they've opened Freet and Scoop in the – well, why don't you tell people where you're located? You're in the Pilot – it's called the Pilot –
The 14th Street Pilot Station, I believe, or Pilot, yeah, mm-hmm.
Right on the riverfront walk, right,
yeah, bottom of 14th Street.
Yeah, it's where I guess next to Reef Barbershop, mm-hmm. and between that
and
Isom,
right, and then Clemente's, where Clemente's Cafe will be opening, and
between Clemente's
weeks,
and Baked Alaska, yeah,
right, okay, yeah. So great location. So you then in October you had just a few recipes like. Some flavors that you had worked on that you liked.
Sure, we actually had a bit of a disaster our first day. We had gotten the approval from the inspectors to open, and we said, okay, in 2 days we're going to open, and that meant we had to make a lot of ice cream in those 2 days. We overestimated our equipment's ability to cure the ice cream to freeze it really hard, because when we tried to open up that Saturday, nothing was frozen except our sorbet.
Uh-oh. And so we came in all excited. We told everyone we were opening, and we opened up the freezer and we had soft serve when we wanted scoopable hard ice cream.
One of our first customers that day who actually had some of the sorbet was Mayor Lemire. She came in and with her husband and we knew who she was. We knew she was running.
We had met her at the dog park, and we said, oh, that's Arlene. She's running for mayor.
So your first date was not quite the scooping party.
No,
the day after. Was.
Right. So you had to learn how to operate the equipment, how to, you know, and then the recipe. So you, and you're doing kind of an unusual thing. You're open from noon to 6 mm-hmm. every day except for Tuesday and Wednesday.
That's
because
right.
people do stay over sometimes on the weekends.
Yep.
And then when I ask you, you know, why are you closed Tuesdays and Wednesdays? You said because that's when we make ice cream.
Yeah. Yeah, we actually, Tuesdays, we take a day to not even talk about ice cream. We have a rule. We're not always successful. We have a rule where we really try not to talk about the shop at all because we need a mental break.
Absolutely. Everyone does.
Because we've been so busy. The town has been so wonderful and supportive.
From the time you opened in October, I mean, ice cream opening before the winter, most people think that's crazy.
People thought we were a little crazy.
And yet you have been busy. And you said January was a great month for ice cream.
Yeah. We've had such a mild winter and that helped. But, you know, initially our thought was that, yes, we knew that the winter was going to be slow. We hoped because we wanted to make all of the mistakes early. We wanted to make all the mistakes while we weren't busy and then move on to the spring with a lot of experience and being able to move forward.
We thought of the winter as sort of our training wheels period, mm-hmm. because opening in the summertime when it's cruise ship season and it's really busy here would be a death sentence. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't have been mm-hmm. able to do it. So we really wanted to ramp up to a busy season. And then the joke was kind of on us because the busy season happened pretty much immediately.
Because, and you know what's interesting, without really advertising, I mean, it's really been word of mouth. People are finding you word of mouth. They're saying, oh, homemade ice cream, these flavors. I mean, the vanilla I love. We haven't talked about Freet, and we will yet, but we will in a minute. But why don't you talk about some of the flavors you offer? Everything I know you made, the ingredients are all natural. You try to come up with flavors that are, what I like is I don't like really, really sweet ice cream. So you have some flavors that mm-hmm. aren't really, really sweet. And then there are people who love the really, really sweet ice cream, like the Honey Crunch or what is
the,
that?
Oh, Hokey Pokey.
Hokey Pokey.
Yes. Hokey Pokey, which is what?
Hokey Pokey is Australia and New Zealand's most popular ice cream.
Yes.
And it's actually just a sweet cream ice cream. It's other than the ingredients that go into it, we don't flavor it. But then we make a homemade candy called a honeycomb candy, or sometimes it's called a sponge toffee, out of what is it, Lyle's Golden Syrup,
baking soda, a little salt. That's it.
Mm-hmm. And that candy crunch in that ice cream is just so popular. And that is more one of our sweeter ice creams mm-hmm. because of that candy that's in there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, most of our ice cream tends to be on the less sweet side because we can control the amount of sugar that goes in our ice cream. I can give you the ingredients to every single one of our ice creams off the top of my head because we do it every day.
I think you had, did you have an Earl Grey? No,
that's one of our most popular
You had
flavors.
An Earl Grey ice cream. Yep. I tried it a couple of days ago. It was delicious.
Yep. It's called London Fog.
Yes, it's called London Fog, yep. Right. And that's like, it has Earl Grey tea.
Mm-hmm. We blend it with vanilla beans.
Oh, delicious. And your vanilla is so excellent.
Thank you.
So you create new flavors
mm-hmm.
every week?
Yep.
And are there certain standards that, like, okay, the espresso, you're always going to have that, and the chocolate, you're always going to have that? Because how is that going to work now
that mm-hmm. we know what people in this town want to eat?
Right.
Because we didn't know what flavors would be popular when we started. Espresso cardamom was a huge surprise because this is a cardamom town. We didn't know anyone would like that
Finns,
flavor.
Ah, the Finns and cardamom.
People
yes.
love the espresso cardamom. People love London Fog. So people are really telling us what they want in ice cream.
They love licorice in this town.
They love it. Really? Yeah, black licorice.
We had the hardest time making our licorice ice cream. We've had people love that licorice ice cream, which is great, but we spent at least 2 or 3 weeks experimenting because neither of us like black licorice.
Yeah, we don't like
it. So we had a really hard time dialing in that flavor.
And we didn't know when it was good.
Yeah, so we had to take it. We would drop off batches to the ladies at City Hall because yep. they had told us we'd been talking with them getting
licenses
and everything.
Will you be our taste testers yes, for our
exactly.
new ice cream flavors?
So they would
that
tell us
so
if
great.
It was good. Or
so they helped us dial it in, yeah. Yep.
All right, that's excellent.
I love black licorice.
Oh, well, Terry's going to be there tomorrow.
We made it yesterday.
You need tomorrow,
to come
yeah.
and get some.
Yeah. That's right. So, okay, so we've talked about the ice cream, which is what you've been serving.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But we haven't talked about, and also we should talk about the fact that you make a special cone there as well.
We sure do.
Yeah, we do. Depending on who you ask, it's either a Norwegian or a Swedish krumkaka. We don't like waffle cones. Waffle cones tend to be too big, so we did our own little twist on a waffle cone, and we changed the recipe of a krumkaka just a little bit to make it thicker. And then we put a little Hershey's Kiss on the bottom of it so that the ice cream doesn't drip and melt on your shoes. And so.
Very clever. Yep. You all are just learning, experimenting, getting feedback. I'm sure customers are telling you things. And
customers are very grateful and very supportive.
Right. And that's great that you're also open and taking feedback and all that. Okay. So you said, we want to do ice cream, but then what is the frite part of Frite and Scoop?
Well, that's me. Kevin has a sweet tooth. I do not have a sweet tooth. You'll notice that sometimes when you sample ice cream at Frite and Scoop, which you should do because we love giving out samples, some of the ice creams are a little saltier than others. Those are usually the ones that I made. Our salted caramels, our bourbon butterscotches, our pecan pie, stuff like that. I really wanted to do a fritery as a business, and that is a Belgian street food little stand that sells Belgian frites. He wanted to make ice cream, and
you have to explain
what
Belgian frites
Belgian
are for
frites
those people
are,
who may not know.
They're Belgian French fries, so they're exactly like your standard fry, in that they're fried. They're a potato. They're the same size and all of that, but they're made a specific way. They're fried twice, so that they're very soft and pillowy on the inside, and then they're super crispy on the outside, and they're served in a paper cone. So you can walk around with them, walk on the Riverwalk. We'll have a bunch of different homemade dipping sauces. So we're going to make special, delicious, salty snacks at the shop, and then we'll also have our sweet
salt
stuff.
And sweet. See, mm-hmm. I'm a salt person, too. I mean, butter and salt. I'll eat anything with butter and salt.
Yep.
Basically.
All day long.
So the idea is, and so you're now that you've kind of got the ice cream thing figured mm-hmm. out, and that continues to evolve, and you've actually hired 4 people. You now have 4 employees from opening in October.
So and they were all regulars. They were all customers.
Yep. And now you have 4. So you have now created jobs for mm-hmm. four people here because of this dream, because of going over the bridge. Yeah. You told Kevin he was in trouble. You want to move here.
Exactly. I'm just believing
he's still in trouble.
And believing, having faith and taking that leap of is what happened, brought you here to this point. And when will you be doing the frites? Because you're only doing the ice cream right now.
We are. The frites are under construction. So everyone's very excited for them. We are very excited for them. And we're waiting now. The contractor is actually going to be there today doing some work. So as soon as the hood system is completed and we get our inspections, then we'll be testing, and then they'll be up and running. So
maybe by
very soon,
within a couple of weeks, or
I hope so.
Two weeks, something like that.
That is
okay,
our hope.
So kind of maybe mid-April, there will be frites as well as the scoops.
Absolutely.
So what you've obviously been embraced by the community. So much of your business has been obviously word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
What are the challenges you didn't realize when you decided to take this, and what are the things that happened? I mean, we only have a few minutes left, but any maybe, let's say, advice for any entrepreneurs or any anything that you learned that surprised you?
We weren't ready for the success we had. We weren't mm-hmm. ready. We've had to hire people so much earlier than we expected. That was a big challenge because, we had days where we had lines out the door for 5 hours straight, and it was just Lisa and I. And so
I still don't know how we did that.
Those were the challenging parts, and we're so grateful for that. We feel like we're so lucky that the town has embraced us so much. But that, everyone would say, well, that's a good problem to have. But it was still a problem. It was still a problem that we had to solve. And,
And we also never wanted to say no to anything. We just said yes to everything all the time.
Right. Well, I know that you support your part. You become engaged in the community. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I really feel about this town. And that is, if you are willing to get involved in the community and give back, and businesses give so much to so many nonprofits, so many charities here. And I know you all are doing that. And that is obviously something where people embrace you. We just have a couple minutes left. Any last thing you'd like the listening audience to know about Freet and Scoop?
I think if you live in this town and you haven't been to Freet and Scoop yet, you should absolutely come down and say hello to us and have samples. You don't have to buy anything to sample ice cream. We tell people all the time, stop in and sample. Sample all 12 if you want to, and see what it tastes like.
And meet these dreamers who
created our flavors change almost every day. We make ice cream all day long.
Yeah, if it's not busy, we love to just sit and chat with you.
Yep.
And tell you about the ice cream and tell you our story.
Well, you have a great story. And why don't you tell people again your location and your hours?
We're inside the 14th Street Pilot Station.
What is it, 175?
175 14th Street. There's a trolley stop right across the street. And we're open Wednesday through Monday. 12 to 6.
Wait, Wednesday? You're open Wednesday?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thursday.
Okay. Oof. So you're closed.
Dangerous.
Phew. Tuesday and Wednesday. That's right. Okay. So you're open 12 to 6.
Yes, we are.
Thursday through Monday.
Yep. We'll have expanded hours for the summer.
Well, congratulations on taking Leap of Faith. Congratulations on hiring four people here. You've now given jobs to four people here in town.
Thanks so much.
And, we're looking forward to the frites, and thank you for bringing the scoops.
Thank you, Donna.
It's been nice.
All right. Excellent. Thank you, Terry Wilson, our engineer extraordinaire, and also Michael Bruin, our local talented banjo instructor, for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. And focus on the things that are working well in your life. There will always be those things that aren't going well. However, there are many things which are going well. And so focus on those, and then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, and for being here now in this moment, the only moment which exists, the present moment, on the amazing planet we call Earth.